Today, we're going to once again do Search the Scriptures. We're going to take out the first question of the day. This one is from January 2013. It's been around a while. What does it mean that the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath? It's Luke chapter 6 they've given me. So let's turn over to Luke chapter 6. We'll start with verse 1. On a Sabbath, while he was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" And Jesus answered them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave some to those who were with him. And he said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.'" All right, so what does it mean to say that the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath? The Sabbath day is, of course, the sixth day of the week. We are not worshiping here on the Sabbath day. We are worshiping on the first day of the week, which became the tradition even in the very early church, because they were gathered not only on the Sabbath prior to that to have their regular worship, but on the Sunday, the day after, because that's the day of the resurrection. And that has since become the norm within Christian circles, is to worship on the day of resurrection. So the Sabbath day is this sixth day of the week. Seventh. Yeah, straighten me out. How many times do you have to yell that before I get it? I think I may have heard you say that one other time. Seventh. It does feel like the sixth day. Okay, so thank you for straightening me out on that. The seventh day of the week, which is the Sabbath day. And so now we go back to the Old Testament, where we have God's commandment that we are to remember the Sabbath day, which is the seventh day. At least it is now. Thank you. We're to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Well, I'm not going to go into a full series on the Ten Commandments right now, although we have done that here at this church. I have no idea how many years ago. My guess is it's been over 10. Anyway, in that series, we did talk about the significance of this particular commandment. And in that series, I used a book that I read decades ago that I found very helpful, that kind of took each of these commandments and narrowed it down to a one-word principle. And in this particular one, frailty expresses the fact that we can't operate on a seven-day-a-week schedule. We have to have rest. And so this particular commandment about the seventh day, the Sabbath day, is a commandment that emphasizes the fact that we have to have rest. God worked 6 days, and then the seventh day he rested. He didn't rest because he was all tired out from having worked 6 days. He rested because he was setting us an example of how he would have us operate. And that day of rest is not simply to be a day where we don't do anything. It was also to be a day where we're going to do something different from the other days of the week, and it's going to be totally a day that is dedicated to God, and it will be a day where we rest in, we could even emphasize today's song about the completed work of Jesus Christ, which we continue to do today. And by the way, this whole concept of a Sabbath rest is one we're going to be coming to in the book of Hebrews. But that's probably several years away, because that's toward the end of the book. Anyway, so as we think about what does it mean to say that the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath, it means that even though God has provided for us, the word Pastor Caleb yelled out at me, one of the several here recently, is margin, and it's because we need margin. We can't just go nonstop 7 days a week, rolling into the next seven, working nonstop. Now, some of you have attempted to do that, and you've probably suffered for it, because it is inevitable. You are not built to do that. You can't handle that. And even though you may attempt to do it and you may succeed for a time, you will wear yourself out and you will burn out. That's just a matter of the way our human bodies are. We must have that rest. We must have that break. We must have that margin. And so as we think about margin and the command that we're given to not only have that margin, rest on the Sabbath day, but also to have a day that we are dedicating to worship God, the whole point is that we have to have this relationship with God, and that we must acknowledge that He is God and we are not. That's the most important thing. That's the most important takeaway of that commandment. He is God and we are not. And when you decide you're going to call your own schedule, you're going to make your own plans, you will work 7 days a week if you want to work 7 days a week, because it's your life and you can make the decisions of what to do with your life, what you're saying is, I am God of my life. Which, of course, is what most of us say about many areas of our life. God says this is what He wants, and we say, sorry, God, I don't think I want to go there. Which is just our way of saying, you don't get to be God in this one. I get to be God. So when we say, I'm working 7 days a week, regardless of what, then we're saying, I get to be my own God. Jesus gave us this instruction after the Pharisees had accosted Him, accused His disciples of breaking the Ten Commandments. That's essentially what they were doing. You're breaking the Ten Commandments, they said. So what do you have to say to that? Jesus gave an Old Testament example of when it was appropriate for David and his men to do something that was otherwise inconsistent with what the Old Testament law appeared to say. And then He concluded this with this comment, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. As opposed to what? As opposed to the Sabbath being something superior to the God who made the Sabbath. This gets into something that we talked about several weeks ago, legalism. Legalism is the belief that if you obey a certain set of rules, then God will look on you more favorably. It is the belief that you can earn your salvation by living up to a certain high standard. When someone says, if you break the Sabbath day, you're going to hell, that is a legalistic statement that the Bible does not support, by the way. If someone says, we need to be sure we don't work 7 days a week and that we give God a regular time within our weekly schedule to worship Him and to worship with other believers, then we are merely expressing a biblical principle that is consistent with the principle of the Sabbath day and is also very explicitly spelled out with New Testament directives. But for Jesus to say, I am the Lord of the Sabbath, means I am not obligated to fall under your ideas of what it means to keep the Sabbath day. Because that's what the Pharisees were doing. They were saying, your disciples were breaking the Sabbath. Here's how they were doing it. They were walking through a wheat field, picking the heads of wheat, putting them in their hands, doing this to get the chaff off of them, and then eating the kernels. Well, according to the law, according to the interpretation of the Pharisees, that little bit of heat that's built up there and that active motion, that's work. So if you are working, the Bible says you can't work. So they were accusing the disciples of breaking the Sabbath because they were doing this. They were working. And Jesus didn't even address the stupidity of their comment that you call that work. Instead, He just pointed out that there are times when what we perceive of as breaking the commandment may not actually be breaking the commandment. And then even more importantly, there is the truth that Jesus is the giver of the commandment and He is the Lord of the Sabbath. And so if you want to know exactly what's acceptable, what you need to do is check with Jesus. That means we need to be in the Word of God. Well, among the Sabbath commandments, I would draw your attention to Colossians chapter 2. And I think I brought this out a few weeks ago as well. But go to Colossians chapter 2. And I'm not going to do the Hebrews today about the Sabbath, but we'll come back to that. And we'll also look at Colossians 2 again when we finally get there. But just to make it crystal clear that someone who uses this Sabbath commandment as a source of judgment is being legalistic, I call your attention to Colossians 2:16, where we have this very explicit instruction from God. Verse 16, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. This really does emphasize the fact that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath commandment was, once again, a shadow of things that were to come. The Sabbath rest that we're going to be reading about in Hebrews is a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what the Sabbath rest is. And so Jesus is the fulfillment of everything in the Old Testament, including this command with regards to the Sabbath. To say that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath means that Jesus is God, means that Jesus sets the rules, means that ultimately our recognition of a Sabbath day or a holy day of worship, we might refer to Sunday as our holy day of worship, our recognition of that is not merely a legalistic recognition of a 24-hour period where we have to do certain things. It is rather the recognition that we serve the God who created everything that is and who gave us the commandments. It's all about Him. It's not about the commandments that He's given. It's all about Him. That's why instead of Jesus listing one of the Ten Commandments when they ask what's the most important commandment, instead of listing one of those ten in order to elevate it to the highest position, Jesus didn't list one of the Ten Commandments. He gave two other commandments, neither of which is found in the Decalogue. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The love your Lord your God, that's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. What is your concern? You're concerned about somebody rubbing their hands together in order to eat a piece of grain? What does this have to do with your relationship with me? That's essentially the question coming from Jesus. We're going with the one more question. This one is from September 2 years ago, so about a year and a half. What does the Bible mean when it says, "I will not drink from now on until that day when I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom"? That's Matthew 26, which we didn't actually read that one today, although we often do at communion. We know that passage. So at the end of the communion celebration, at the end of this Passover meal that Jesus had with his disciples in the upper room just before his crucifixion, he took the bread and he gave it to them and they ate, and he took the cup and he gave it to them and they drank, and then he made that comment in verse 29, "I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." So the question is, what does that mean? And then the added question, "And yet we do it every month." So the question seems to be, if we are doing this every month, then why is Jesus saying that it's not going to happen until he does it with us in his Father's kingdom? And I think I understand the question, but it seems a little too simple, so maybe I'm missing the point. But here's what I would say. We do it every month, but Jesus is not actually here visibly for us to do it with him. Now, he's with us because he's in our hearts and he is with us. We know that. But there is coming a day when we have what's often referred to as the great marriage supper of the Lamb. There is coming a day that the scriptures tell us we are going to have a tremendous party. And it's going to be a party where we celebrate our salvation in Jesus Christ in Jesus' presence. We will see Jesus. Jesus acquired a physical body at the incarnation. So he has a body. Now, it's not a body exactly like ours because none of us can walk through walls. But he has a body and we will see him. And the scriptures tell us that there is coming a day when we are all going to be gathered together and we are going to celebrate that. And he will drink the cup with us at that time. This is an anticipatory celebration. It is both the commemoration of what Jesus has done, and it's an anticipation of what is going to happen. That's why every time we take communion, we always wrap it up with this promise of Jesus. We're looking forward to what is going to happen. Comment. All right, so Kirk is pointing out that Jesus commanded us to do this. He said to do it regularly. So we are following his command, even though he is not physically present with us. We are doing what he said to do, and he's not going to do it with us physically until that day when we're going to be together in glory, and that will be a great day of celebration. Thank you. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have given us your word, that we know that your word is without error, that it is infallible, that it is eternal. Jesus said, not one jot or tittle will pass away until all is fulfilled. That repeatedly throughout the scriptures we read that your word is eternal in the heavens. And so we rejoice that you have given us the privilege of holding your word, of studying it, of reading it together. And I pray, Lord, that we would always strive as the noble Bereans to rightly divide the word of truth, to seek the word, to find out what things are true. And I pray, Lord, that as we apply it to our hearts and lives, that we might grow to be more like Christ. I thank you for the things that we've been able to share and discuss even today. And Lord, we do look forward to that day when we're going to be seeing you face to face, and we're going to be celebrating at that great wedding supper of the Lamb, and that will just be the beginning of an eternal celebration because of your mercy and your grace. Lord, I pray that if there are any here today who have not yet received Christ as Savior, that they would recognize that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to you, the Father, except through Him, your Son, our Savior Jesus. I pray for your blessings on us as we go from here today, and we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.